sharing, so I'm
okay. Okay, good morning. This is Commissioner Brooks. Joining me is Commissioner Van Beek. It is 9:33 on the 20th of May. We have agendized three budget workshops for the time slot of 9:30 to noon, and the first one that we're going to take up is the treasurer, and we have the treasurer here with our chief deputy. So good morning. Fire away.
Good morning, commissioners. Today we are here to present our fiscal year 2027 budget, and just wanted to make some key points that in our office that we try and do follow the legislatures, obviously, and then we are trying to do everything efficient and effective as possible with the least amount of employees. We are currently an office of seven, and we do have one retiring. So with that retirement, we thought it would be time to maybe restructure the office, and we'll get into that just a little bit later. So our primary revenue source, we don't have any revenue in our office. We just taxes we disperse out to other districts. So all of our budget is under the current expense. And we do have interest, but we are expecting that to drop some with the market fluctuating as much it has, will continue to fluctuate. So that's kind of out of our control. On this screen, you can see how Kenny County property tax for Kenny County only is $63 million. Other districts is $222 million to a total property tax collection of $285 million on a yearly basis that we collect. The budget for 2026, the approved for our office alone was $161,000, and we had less. The property taxes were $63 million for Kenny County only. That is additional revenue of $98 million. And our total fiscal responsibility is $384,539,308. So that's how much can possibly transfer through our office on a yearly basis. And this next slide, as you can see, we have this is for 2025, $285 million total tax charge. And we have listed out here batch payments, which are payments that we import, either mortgage companies, our lockbox, credit card payments. We import those on a daily basis, so we don't have to manually post them in the office. So that is very time saving, because we have one company that sends over 30,000 accounts in one file. So that would take us days to process that in the office. And we, over the counter, this is the ones that we post in the office, we did over $49 million just over the counter and with payments. So with that,
this is not the current version, this is the older version.
Right. Yeah. So since January 1st, through April 1st, we've collected an additional $11 million. So we still, in June, we still have a large amount to collect going forward. And that is typical because we're collecting the second half of the 2025 taxes.
Okay.
Now for our A budget, we are requesting minimal increase. We are wanting to move forward on updating our current tax software, which is going to be a cost, but we're hoping to spread that over 3 or 4 years is the goal. In our B budget, we did not raise that much, and we'll get into that just a little bit later.
Chairman?
Yep.
On the tax software, is that an outside vendor that you're purchasing and spreading the cost over?
Yes, it's our current Omentum system. We're just upgrading it from the current version that they're in to their newest version is called Platform.
Okay.
Expected hopefully get started on that in the next year or so. And that's a shared cost between the treasurer, assessor, and the clerk.
Okay, you just answered my question, and I'm like, is this something associated with the Augmentum that the assessor uses?
We're going to expect to hear from that, because that'll be an interesting conversation on how to spread that out. So we'll look at the clerk with his.
We did get the numbers in, but I don't want to steal Brian's thunder.
Okay.
So as for our expenses, like I mentioned earlier, we do have one staff retiring. We have two out of our seven will reach the rule of 90 within 2 years. Five out of the seven will reach it within 10 years. And upgrading of the Augmentum tax software, which is 20 years old, it's time to move forward. And we also, expenses, we're currently having issues with our current scanner, which was identified last year. We managed to make it through another year without buying one. So that's going to be a cost, because we're going to have to buy one at around $6,000.
Yep, Chairman, and that's on the cost replacement schedule through IT?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. So our request is we're requesting to have a staff restructuring due to the retirement, and we are requesting a temporary employee, not a full-time or even a permanent part-time, just a temporary employee to help us move through our tax season. And usually we have a shared employee with the assessor's office. They are becoming busier and busier, so the assessor's not sure how much longer he can share that employee with us. So we're just trying to get ahead of everything.
And Chairman, So I'm going to say that back. You have one retiring out, and you're not replacing that person. You're requesting a temp.
No, we will be replacing.
Okay.
To restructure a little bit, and we will be replacing.
Okay, so in addition to the seven, you'll have a temporary.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Steve to explain and give you an insight on the A budget and our request.
Okay.
First of all, congratulations on last night's elections. And I guess this would be an appropriate time to say thank you, Commissioner Bambi, for your service to Canyon County.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a privilege. I've enjoyed it.
You're welcome. So Jennifer had tasked me with the study of our compensation within the treasurer's office. Looking at our succession plan, I think we're in real trouble. 10 years from now, as five of our seven staff members retire, that leaves two remaining to carry forward the treasurer's office. So we certainly wanted to address the succession plan. And you would think that within the treasurer's office, we have a fiduciary responsibility of well over 300. I know what Jennifer had presented, the 385. This was an older slide presentation. We had notes added, but the newer presentation didn't refresh. So we're trying to go through the older presentation, but over $366 million of fiduciary responsibility. You would assume that the treasurer's office would have some financial positions within that, within their office, rather than 100%, you know, or 90% customer service specialist, right? So looking at the goals of a compensation study, succession plan, maintaining efficiency, maintaining levels of service, and to meet those objectives, I took a look at a resource allocation, reclassification, did some county comparatives, and then a cost breakdown. The goal was to meet the objectives with very minimal expense. So the resource allocation, what I did is I broke down the legislative responsibilities that the treasurers have, are legislatively mandated to perform, which is property taxation, Treasury and Public Administration, and then assigned a percentage of work staff utilization for these for each one of these categories. So property tax is 70%, Treasury is 25%, Public Administration is 5%. And I'll address the Public Administration because I know that was a topic that was brought up this year related to, you know, how we're handling public administration. I'll address that later on. But within each one of those categories, these are just primary workflows. And then, you know, what kind of a category would we assign? Would this be a financial responsibility or would this be a customer service responsibility? So you can see the and I won't go over all of them, but the primary workflows within each one of those. So our current personnel, we have one treasurer, one chief deputy treasurer, one banking and finance manager, three senior customer service specialists, and one customer service specialist for a total of seven employees. What our request is we break out the three senior customer service specialists. We have two senior financial specialists, and then we lower, because of a retirement that's happening in July, we're going to take the senior customer service specialist, and we would much rather have them at a level two customer service specialist rather than a senior customer service specialist. And then the additional ask for the temporary employee, bringing us up to a total of 7.5 staff for fiscal year 2027. So looking at county comparatives, the difficult task is trying to associate, how do you compare this with other counties? And property taxes, ultimately the highest staff utilization, no matter what treasurer's office or what county you're in. So since that's the primary burden, you look at the parcel counts. And the parcel counts for Canyon County in FY 2024, my mouth is dry, in FY 2024, there was 102,000 parcels. Now, if we divide that by the staff, we come up with a per parcel count of 14,615. And you can see the comparative to other counties. Kootenai County has 9 employees with less parcel counts. So they're 29% less efficient than Canyon County is. Bonneville County, it has 6 employees, and they're 31% less efficient than Canyon County. So I would expect that Bonneville, given that they're half the parcel counts, because when you employ, when you have more parcels and you employ more people, the people that you're employing are lower pay grade employees to handle the workflow of property tax, right? So I would expect, you know, Bonneville to be right around 20% less than Canyon County. I would not expect Kootenai County to be at the level of proficiency of 29%. I think they're, based off the research, they're very bloated. But then when you compare us to Ada County has double the parcels, and I would expect us to be 20% less efficient, but we're on par. In 2024, we were on par with them for parcel count. Now, also in 2024, if you take the total approved budget for 2024 and you divide it by the parcel count, you come up with a cost per parcel, and then you can compare that to each one of those counties, to Kootenai, Bonneville, and Ada County. Do you have any questions at this point?
I do have a question on whether or not the rubric for comparison that you've established here, and thank you, I do always like to know how we're getting at requests for increases, but has Director Danner looked at this?
Yeah, we've sent it to her.
Okay, so you have no feedback yet? Okay.
Yeah, we have to meet with her directly to go over this and see if this fits in with how the county is structured and...
And that's a great segue, because the county for the last several years has tried to categorize like groups of people and their functions, skill sets, all of that. So I would say we're missing still a component of how this fits in that grade and step program that we've tried to establish. So,
this is a very high level overview, but this is more of a detail. This is what we sent to Marty.
Okay.
HR director, for her to review. And this has a lot more details.
Okay. Yep. Thanks for that.
At a higher level.
Okay. Perfect.
So when we compare 2024 to 2026, you can see the both the parcel count increase, which I didn't have 2024's parcel count for Kootenai and Bonneville County. I couldn't find those, but the parcel count for 2026 was on the Idaho State Tax Commission. So I just took the average between Ada and Canyon and came up with a 5% parcel increase. And then what the office salary increase was, and I just took the total approved A budget and divided it by the 2026, and you can see the increases to each one of those counties over the two-year period. So it reflects the 3% increase that we got in 2024 or 2025's, but no increase in 2026 for Canyon County. Kootenai maintained 3% increase. I'm not sure what happened with Bonneville County. How I'm not 29% increase seems to be quite a bit, right? But Ada County had 11% increase over the 2 years that I looked at this. So, and I met with Ada County's treasurer and chief deputy. They handle their office very much like we do. We're all staff members, and I believe this is probably consistent through the state, that in June and in December, all staff members are processing payments, because that's where the bulk of our staff utilization needs to be in December and June. But that does not define the positions or what the staff members are doing for the remaining months of the year. So Ada County has, their staff utilization was 50% in tax collection, 35% in finance, and 15% in public administration. And here's where the public administration is divided out, right? Based on the information that I received, so I don't know this to be 100% true, but Ada County proactively goes after public administration cases, right? We rely on legislative mandates. We're not proactive in going after, because that's an additional cost or additional burden to the county that we don't feel the taxpayers should have to pay. So we meet legislative mandates. Ada County goes above and processes the public administration cases, even if they don't meet, or yeah, even if they don't meet the legislative mandates. Does that make sense? That's just the information that I could gather from public administration.
Right, and I've looked at this earlier in my career, and I haven't looked at what the statutes are governing public administration. It is complicated, but you are correct. Ada County is proactive and it opens a public administrative case if there's deemed to be assets that are available to satisfy whatever debts, so they're not classifying them as indigent. So that probably is a bigger discussion that I think is merited and has value. I always think that it's good to ask why we do things, and if we've been doing things forever, why are we doing them that way? And then change management is difficult, but I would want to look at that again. I do appreciate you bringing the information forward that's consistent with what I heard from Ada County. I don't know if I philosophically agree, I guess, in not pursuing that. But again, I would have to refresh my memory on the statutes guiding that.
And I believe the statute, there's a minimum income threshold that meets public administration, and of course,
asset threshold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 5,000.
And then heirs. I mean, they can't identify any heirs to take over the case. So
yeah, and it would require legal getting involved and looking at a deeper level. I did help guide the process of creating how that's evaluated between, it's a coordinated effort between the treasurer, the coroner, the board who has to approve, the taxpayers paying one way or the other, either if it's an indigent, they're paying for that under state statute, or if there's assets that we can pursue. I just think that's a bigger conversation yet to be had, the continued discussion between those entities.
Yes, but for fiscal year 2027, we're not asking for a public administrator. I think you're correct. We need to have those conversations moving forward.
Thanks.
Yep. So here's the cost breakdown for for fiscal year 2027. This is the staff costs, so this is reflective of salary plus benefits, right? So the banking and finance manager is, Ada County's banking and finance manager, their salary ranges between 195,000 and 105,000. We're not asking for that. And that's just salary, not benefits included. We're not asking for that level of increase, but just to be a little bit closer to Ada County when it comes to a like position of banking and finance manager with the same job descriptions. The reclassification would be the two senior customer service specialists to a financial specialist. The cost to, and at the pay grade, and of course the pay grade is as Marty Danner has shown is really kind of off, but to put them in an adequate pay grade, it would be an increase of 7,000 for each one of those positions. Then the third position, you can see a reduction of $10,000, and that's moving the senior customer service to his customer service level 2. And then the increase of 20,000 for the temporary employees. So the total ask is 39,000. And I'm going to pass this back over to Jennifer.
Do you have any other questions regarding?
Not at this time.
This is, and again, I do want to point out that this is all within the study that was included with the budget presentation, and there's a lot more details.
Yeah.
If you have any additional questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. Each one of the data points that I used, I have links. So if you want links to the data points that I used, I'm more than happy to provide those.
Okay, thank you.
So switching over to our B budget. The first thing on our list here is the Almentum upgrade. And at this point, if we were the only county to go and moving forward, we're looking at about a $2.2 million price tag. Now they have explained that if other counties jump on board with them, our cost could come down some. But at this point, we don't know what counties are going to try and move forward with an upgrade also. So we want to assume that we're going to have to pay the $2.2 million.
And that's phase one, or that's for all phases?
That's all phases.
Okay.
It's all phases.
And how many years are you proposing to prorate that over?
About four years. Three to four?
3 to 4, depending on how well the implementation process goes. My feeling, it's going to be 4.
Yes, and then with, if Bonneville and Cooney County, if they join in, it could come in under $2 million.
Has Ada County decided yet?
Yes.
They have, and they're not part of the study because this is, Omentum is brand new to them. So they have, they're a brand new customer, so it's not an upgrade.
Oh, so they did choose.
They chose
yes. Omentum.
Lobbying efforts were.
Yes.
And I believe that their price tag was roughly $5 million. For their upgrade, well, for their conversion, because they're not an Omentum.
Yeah,
they're coming from their own software, moving to Omentum, so it's the cost is much more.
So in fiscal year 2026, we asked for a $125,000 placeholder for a fit gap analysis to start the process. And we maintain that now. This year, we're asking for an additional $175,000. To move forward with the upgrade. So it's just a difference of $50,000 overall. And you can see here in fiscal 2028 or 29 is the $1.5 million that we would be asking for, and that's the bulk of it between the treasurer and the assessor. We'll split that. And then fiscal year 29 and 30, it'll come back down to $300,000 to complete the project.
How much of the 125 have we spent, I guess, at this point?
We have not spent anything of that, nothing of that so far.
Okay.
So we're just trying to slowly build it, so.
Okay, so it's intentional, we're not spending it, we're
yes.
setting it aside?
Setting it, okay. And the additional 175 for this year, set it aside for now until we need it. Under the computer equipment, we're asking for $8,300, and that's just for some new.
It's a reduction of 83.
Oh, it's a reduction of 8,300. Thank you. We replaced several computers in fiscal year 26, so it's just
okay
on the cycle. We are looking at, like I previously said, a new scanner for OnBase. We're looking at about $6,000. We are testing one now to see if it's going to work for us, and there's still some minor issues that we're trying to work out.
Is IT involved in
yes.
the scanner?
So,
go ahead.
So currently we were testing a new scanner in our office. Our old scanner was really causing us proficiency issues within the office. And so we worked with IT to get a demo to see if that solved our problems. And as of today, it looks like it's solving our problems with efficiency. So we would like to move forward and purchase that the scanner that they're demoing to us, since we're all three familiar with it, IT and us and the vendor.
And we are going to continue to test it through our busy time in June to make sure that it can handle.
Okay, I guess that's where I'm going with my thought process. Are you? I don't know what it's scanning, for starters, and then are you going to need it for the June to December time period kind of thing?
So
are they letting you use the test one for that time period?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We asked to test it at least through June, so that we could give it every scenario that we possibly can. Because
okay.
during June, as our collection picks up, we have more stuff to scan on a daily basis.
Okay.
And different size pages and envelopes. And so it likes just straight 8x8.5x11 paper, you know, simple. But we give it a little bit more. We test it.
Okay. And the scanner is functioning to our document management system OnBase. So every piece of paper that we receive in our office goes into OnBase. And that's how it gets into OnBase. We run it through the scanner. So it's utilized heavily.
Okay.
And because we have one scanner in our office, it's a big one. And that way we don't have them on individual desks. So we just have the one main scanner. So other key to note, is our postage going up $2,500? That's, this postage rate is going up again in the 1st of July. Our service contracts, we're increasing by $4,000 due to everything else going up in price and they're charging more. And this is our BDS contracts that print and mail our yearly tax statements. Advertising, we dropped down just a little bit because we do not do much advertising. Typically, we only advertise a couple times a year.
Postage,
yeah. Postage, yes. Yeah. And then armored car, we increased it $3,500 due to fuel cost, because they're starting to relay that back to us for the fuel cost, and we can hope that that goes down.
Oh, yeah. Soon. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So our total request. Is that the right one? That's. That one's back. Their total request is really about $100,000 overall, because we're decreasing our revenue for interest due to the market fluctuation. And our A expenses are going up roughly $40,000, and our B expenses are going up roughly $60,000. And that's including a temporary position, the reclassification of other positions, and the additional $50,000 that we're requesting for the Aumentum upgrade. So that is all that I have to present to you today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
No, I do not. I mean, there's a bunch of information here to still look through and absorb, so.
Yes, Steve did provide plenty of information on the reclassification and the temporary employee. So I thank you for that, for getting all that information together. It was very helpful and useful to look over that.
One question on your analysis per parcel, per employee. Is that standard how Ada, Kootenai, and Bonneville calculate, or is that a rubric that you created just for comparative reasons?
That was a rubric that I can,
okay.
I created,
okay.
For comparative purposes. It really defines the efficiency when you're comparing counties, you know, with their employees and their costs, their A budget costs. It was the only way I could actually break down each county so that I was able to compare them.
Right. And I see what you're saying, and thank you for that. It's just a different way to look at it, but you did not actually receive any information from those other counties on like positions and what they're.
The information, I have links to the information where I found that. Transparent Idaho,
mm-hmm.
is where I got the employee counts from. I met with Ada County, so they're in line with, those numbers are in line with what they approved, or what their staff counts are.
Okay.
The cost analysis is on every website, they show what they approved on their A budget. That's the figure I used.
Okay.
Their A budget. So I'm not making up.
Sure. No, I just wanted to know. Because typically what we've moved toward is having one person, which is the HR director, funnel salary requests for like positions. But it's just added information. I just wanted to know how you came up with that. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. Yes, clerk.
Yeah, Chair and Commissioners, can you go back to the overall? So I just need clarification and looking at what I have. Is that B expense one? You said that was excluding the increase for Aumentum, that ask that was on there.
So that is including, that's including the, because we had 125 rescue.
The 300, correct.
To bring our fund balance up to 300,000. So it's
175.
Increase of 50,000 overall between last year and this year.
Okay. Oh, so did you want it to be 175?
We want it, yes, we want the full amount to be 175.
Oh, we just may have to adjust that, sorry. Because the way it's showing up in here is that you asked for 300,000.
Right, and that was based on.
I had the same question.
That was based on how Sarah directed us to enter that, to keep that 125 in from last year, then increase it to 175.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that
yeah.
may need to be changed
yeah.
on how.
So you request, so yeah, it's requesting 300,000 for this year.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying though, the spending authority of the 125.
Yeah. Yes.
I was just clarifying like the statement of the ask, the way it just physically looks
right.
in the
way it looks, yeah.
in here is the 185 plus the 40 is like 220. So I was just clarifying that for my understanding. I get what you're saying. You have the spending authority of the 125.
And Chairman, I do need to ask because now Kyle has, I have a different idea of what this looked like. The fiscal year 26 ask was 125,000.
Correct.
You're increasing the amount of the ask for fiscal year 27 by 50,000. So your ask for this year is 175,000.
Yes, on top of the 125 that we had last year, bringing our balance to a total of $300,000. So overall increase between last year and this year is really only 50.
And I see what you're saying, but that's where I'm having problems with the accounting part, because we have to increase that by 175,000, not take the difference of the 2 years. That's not transparent, in my humble opinion. You're really asking for 175,000 this year.
Correct.
So this number would need to increase on the expense total by 125,000.
It did. It's,
okay.
It's accounted
yes.
for, right? I just wanted to understand it from my standpoint, from, like you were saying, because we still want the spending authority for the whole amount.
Yes, and I agree with you because we're saving up to expend for that. But this number then isn't an accurate number. This would have to increase, wouldn't it?
No, so what they have in here is accurate. That's why I asked the question, was to clarify my understanding of it. It's because it's 125, plus they want an additional 175.
Right.
So they have the 300.
I'm tracking there. It's just the math.
Well, are you, as you say on here, are you talking about on their presentation?
Right. Yes. No, on this presentation.
Yeah, that's why I was.
Thank you. I think, yeah.
In addition to what they asked last year.
Yes. Thank you for that. I was not looking in our new program. So I was just
combining the two of them together.
I was just looking at this presentation here because this is what will be posted, I'm assuming.
Comparison sheet that is on here will also be posted as well.
Perfect. So maybe we could make that adjustment so that it's reflected accurately on what really the ask is for people that are looking at the documents that are attached to the calendar.
Yeah, so everything together all new.
Correct.
That's where I was.
Yep.
I needed my clarification.
Yeah, for our presentation was comparative analysis, FY26 to FY27, and what the differences are, right? That's
yep.
the presentation. But all of the documents that you've received for our budget approval, it's in the presentation.
Okay.
But it's accurately entered into the system.
Okay.
On their accounting.
And I'm looking because our population, if they wanted to review the documents, they're going to see this document, not what's in our financial thing.
Commissioner.
Okay.
Let's take a, are we at a good point to stop here?
I think so. I think
okay.
we're on the same page.
Let's take a 5-minute recess and let the assessor get set up and
okay.
we'll go from there.
Thank Sounds you. Good.